There's a hadith, and the narrator of this hadith is a very great Sahabi noble companion, Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he narrates that I heard Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that do two du'as should be performed or recited. And the du'a in this case is a very big wasila, or you could say medium, or a mode, and it's such a wasila, a means, that it directly takes a person close to Allah. Du'a, the action of du'a, prayer. Allah Ta'ala hears directly the call of His servant, the request, and Allah Ta'ala fulfills the du'a of His servant. So how important and necessary this message must be with regards to du'a. And obviously even then, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every statement is complete and jami' and filled with hikmah and wisdoms, that it is a total ocean that reaches to the person and the benefit of a person. So du'a, the action of du'a, will be very beneficial for the world in we live in here and our akhirah. So the first du'a that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us, he stated that ask Allah Ta'ala for yaqeen. Ask Allah Ta'ala for yaqeen, because yaqeen, my friends, is a very big du'a. This is when we're asking for yaqeen, that all of our situation, all our circumstances with regards to the hereafter, akhirah, is dependent on our yaqeen. And all the basics of deen rely on good yaqeen. If a person's yaqeen, if his certainty and belief is weak, if it's weak, the more a person's yaqeen is weak, then the more that person will disobey Allah and he will travel towards sin. And this is such a big cure. This prayer and dua that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, advised us, that there's a reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this hadith, that the reason for a person to disobey Allah, the biggest reason, is that when a person's disobedient to Allah, and he rejects or he commits sins, and he thinks, I shouldn't sin, and he wants to leave sinning, he wants to, in his heart he knows it's wrong, I should leave the sins, but because yaqeen is weak, the individual's yaqeen is weak, then due to that weakness, he cannot be saved, or he doesn't prevent sins. This is the main reason for a person to disobey. And yaqeen, belief, strength of belief, the more it's weak, then a person will commit sins, and the sins will then take that person to Jahannam, the fire of hell. So the first advice or statement Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in this hadith, which is the secret to success, is that a person should strengthen his yaqeen. When a person feels or realizes that I'm committing sins more and more, I'm disobeying Allah more, then he should not pay attention to anything else. Rather, his tawajjah, his attention, should be towards his yaqeen or her yaqeen, that I need to strengthen my belief, certainty and iman, because it's weak. But we don't turn towards this. We don't focus on yaqeen. Rather, despite sinning, we say, oh no, I've got strong yaqeen, and his yaqeen becomes, you can say, stuck on committing sins rather than turning to Allah. And a person, he leaves yaqeen, becomes so weak in yaqeen, then he starts to utter statements which are false, that Allah, he doesn't listen to me, you're not listening to me, there's no benefit in me doing right, I've got nothing, nothing's going to benefit for me, I cannot be saved from sins, I'm forced to sin, it's too hard for me, it's too difficult. And a person loses hope and become totally lacks hope, and he then gets to the weakest position of yaqeen, which is dangerous. And may Allah Ta'ala not allow us to get to this position. And if a person's yaqeen is right at the rock bottom, then his whole mu'amala in this world and hereafter will be spoilt. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a big message here, that what a person needs to do is strengthen his yaqeen and elevate his yaqeen. And he should strengthen his yaqeen to such height, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, to that height that he realizes that alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. I need to travel to Allah, go back to Allah, return to Allah. I will be accounted for my deeds. I will be questioned and I will be given a verdict, a decision. And that's how my yaqeen should be strong, so I realize. And the more my yaqeen belief strengthens, praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah, then that person will start to be cautious, leave sins, become more pious. So the first advice in this hadith is, what should we do? Is dua. Dua for what? Allah, give us strong yaqeen. So let's make this our regular practice now. Big message. Big message. We are weak, aren't we? We are all weak, we commit sins, we're trapped with our feet in sins, we are following our nafs and desires. So do dua, Allah, make my yaqeen stronger. And the second dua that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us to perform is for what? For afiyah. For afiyah. For goodness. This is a very big achievement, because afiyat is related to what? It's related to our body and life. Our life in this dunya. And this is, these two du'as are very complete, very necessary for us. Yaqeen and afiyah. Both are needed by us. That with regards to these two conditions, it's stated that subhanallah, that both of these assets, if we acquire them, they are a complete seal for the human being. That in this world and the hereafter, he starts to loot all of the goodness. This is how great are these two things. It's not difficult to get both. Strong yaqeen and afiyah. Allah Ta'ala has made these two as resources for us in this world and thereafter. That if we have yaqeen and afiyah, then these two are very solid assets and resources. The yaqeen, strength in belief and conviction. Because from yaqeen, a person is saved from the punishments of Jahannam with strong yaqeen. And with afiyah, subhanallah, with goodness, with afiyat, a person's, all his internal sins, he is saved from the internal sins. Yes? And this is the meaning of this hadith. Yes? Total, a person's deen becomes complete with yaqeen and afiyah. So we have both du'as that we should ask Allah Ta'ala for yaqeen. And the second thing what we should ask for? Is for afiyah, that Allah give us afiyah, subhanAllah. So this is what we need to learn. Now, there is something that we need to understand here, that what is the meaning of dua? Because this dunya that Allah Ta'ala has made, and He has sent us here, this has attached to it asbab, means, we have means to get us to an end. And Allah Ta'ala has so much power, He can say kun, and it can become. But Allah Ta'ala said that no, I want you to follow the methods and the techniques and the standards so that you can get to the end point. So if I want to do dua, somebody asks for dua, that Allah allow me to get married, Allah I'm not getting any proposals from a prospective partner. Example I'm giving you that's come to my mind, isn't it? Or, and so dua is not being accepted, Allah, and we complain that Allah, I'm making dua and it's not being accepted. But in between we forget something. We forget something, and something that's very important. In between, we forget something. That what is dunya? The dunya is filled with the requirements to follow the means to the end. So if I do dua for getting married, then have I utilized the means, the methods to get married? So obviously, Allah Ta'ala says that dua, if you do dua, then follow the methods, implement the methods, and then I will give the result. That for example, somebody is ill, and he's doing dua, Allah, give me a cure from this illness. So what is the means to the cure? Allah says that follow the means. Utilize a tablet or medicine. Eat that tablet or medicine. Utilize it. But the shifa, the cure, is not in the medicine. Yeah, this is the yaqeen of the mu'min. Yes. So there's no shifa in the injection. There's no shifa in the tablet, in the drug. So here now your yaqeen will assist in parallel. Yeah, you understand? So yaqeen will assist at the same time. That take the medicine, take the tablet, and say, okay, doctor, give this tablet to me. I remember Hazrat Sahib, that he was severely ill. In that time, we didn't understand this point. This was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, we were sat, and obviously in Makkah, those days, there was no pharmacy, there was no chemist, and when I touched Hazrat Sahib, I felt that Hazrat Sahib was extreme temperature, fever. I said, Hazrat, you're in a bad situation. I was running around, looking around for a chemist, a pharmacy, a dispensary, asked somebody, and I got to a place, and I said that my father, he is extremely ill, and he gave me 3 or 4 tablets. And then I ran back to Hazrat Sahib, I said, Hazrat Sahib, this is some medicine for you, please eat it. He said, huh? Medicine? I said, some medicine for you, I've brought for you, Hazrat Sahib, you are severely, you got temperature. He said, medicine? He thought for a few minutes, where is it? I said, here. I said, Hazrat Sahib, these 3-4 tablets. And Hazrat Sahib took them in his hand. He said, I have to eat these. And I went to get water. Then let me go get some water, some zamzam, so Hazrat Sahib can, and then Hazrat Sahib just, they all went into his mouth, mashallah, down the front. He didn't ask, that is this for headache, fever, stomach, whatever. Subhanallah. Was this his yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That this shifa, will it come where I'm sitting, my focus is on the house of Allah, whoever I remember Allah, he will give me the cure. So he said he knew that Allah ta'ala is the power and he will give me the cure from this disease. And I am running around with the medicine, but this is the sabab. That Hazrat Sahib knew that the medicine is the means towards the cure which Allah will give. So do you understand the point now? That the reason for taking medicine is that definitely use the means, the methods Allah has given. If you've done dua for getting married, alhamdulillah, from your heart, you've done dua, you got yaqeen, Allah is listening, He'll give. But utilize the means that Allah has given, that Allah says, look around, go and knock on the doors, and meet people, or sit with your computer. We have sites nowadays for marriage partners, and ask people, or ask a friend, alhamdulillah, and step forward. Try, practice, action. Allah says you have to follow the actions for that subject. So if you want to get married, Allah says, for example, you say, Allah, I want a child. How will you get a child if you're not meeting your wife? And then you complain to a Wali Allah Hazrat, I'm married, but I'm not got a child. Hazrat said, is it? Why? He said, 6 months has been, more than a year we've been married, and we don't have a child. Hazrat Sahib said, have you gone to your wife? How many times have you met your wife? He said, no, I haven't even physically gone next to my wife yet. He said, and when will the child come from then? Where will the child come from? If you're not meeting your wife, can you have a child without? So Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. So obviously, Hazrat took the medicine. Allah gave the cure. Yes, subhanallah. And we take other examples. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he had his mother, there was no father. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he didn't have mother or father. So Allah is the one who gives without even the mother and the father. He can create. And that, subhanallah, without the mother, a person can be born. Allah Ta'ala can allow everything to come. But we have to utilize the actions and the methods. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand the point? So here, what is the dua we say? Allah, speak. What should we ask Allah to give us? Subhanallah. First, we said ask for yaqeen. Allah give us yaqeen. Yes, yaqeen. And what's the second dua that we ask Allah Ta'ala for? For afiyah. Goodness. Is that at the end? Is this accepted? But what's in between? We have to utilize the methods to get it, subhanAllah. You understood the point? So when we ask Allah Ta'ala for yaqeen, then Allah's karam and mercy is this. Allah's fadl and grace and His blessings, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to ask Him for dua. First thing this, that Allah, you've allowed me to ask you. Is this easy? If you didn't come here today, if you didn't sit in dhikr, you didn't reach this gathering, then would this hadith of yaqeen come to you? No. So this is Allah's fadl and His great mercy. That whoever listens to this message, understands this hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and his yaqeen, that yaqeen is a great asset, then his life will have changed. Subhanallah. His whole life and mercy of Allah will have made his life change. Because yaqeen will come here, and Jahannam goes far. Hellfire goes far. Totally. Punishments of hellfire go far. As your yaqeen increases, you are going further away from Jahannam. And if you're getting far from Jahannam, then who are you getting closer to? You're getting closer to Jannah, paradise. So today, the person who has heard this message and has understood that, alhamdulillah, the point today Allah is giving is, oh, I still keep crying, sins, sins, sins. Why don't look at the root of the problem? That Rasulullah is saying, don't cry about your sins. Rather, ask Allah for the means to success, which is yaqeen. That I'm explaining to you, teaching you, said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that strengthen your yaqeen. So what do we do? Do dua to Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us the point, that you can't just yaqeen from a shop. Allah is the one who will give yaqeen. So do dua to Allah. Ask Allah. Plead to Allah. Request to Allah. Beg to Allah. Allah will hear and He will make your yaqeen stronger. You'll be saying, brothers, do amal on this dua today. Will you do amal on this? Say inshallah. Yes, we'll do amal. And the second thing that we were advised to ask for in dua is what? That. So what are the methods, the means through which we can strengthen our yaqeen. Yes, so Allah has karam, He's allowed us to ask Him. Rasulullah has taught us to do dua that Allah strengthen our yaqeen. So if we want to strengthen yaqeen now, then we have to do the action to strengthen yaqeen. If you want to get married, you have to look for the partner. If you want a child, you have to meet your wife. If you want to have a shop successful, you have to open the shop and run it. If you want to become an alim, then you have to go and learn the kitabs and ilmiyat. So if you want strong yaqeen, then you have to do an action to strengthen the yaqeen. So what's the action? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us the tariqah, the method, that how can we make our yaqeen strong? Rasulullah has told us, just like getting all other things in the world, you have to do the action. Same way, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are meanings that come out from many hadith, and our life is here, all the mashayikh, our pious elders. Two things we can do to strengthen our yaqeen. Number one is to go to the company of somebody who has strong yaqeen already. Go to that person's sohbat. Or take that person's company. A sahib yaqeen, an individual who's got strong yaqeen. Because when I saw Hazrat Sahib eat the tablets, my yaqeen was on the tablets. Hazrat Sahib, I saw his reaction and he got the cure and had yaqeen straight away. It's not the tablets that give the cure, it's Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. But he utilized the methods and it elevated my yaqeen, my understanding. So whose company benefited me? The pious person who has already got strong yaqeen, the friend of Allah, the wali Allah, who if you take his company and listen to him, then you will get stronger yaqeen. So this is the first action. And the second action to strengthen yaqeen, what is that? Dhikr Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Dhikr Allah, mashallah. So obviously, there's no other means, is there? So there are two methods. Take the company, have the nisbat connection, company association with a person already a strong yaqeen, you have good association with him, then your yaqeen will get elevated because there's an effect in sohbat, Allah Ta'ala has put it. Very effective is this method of sohbat of a pious person. The most effective thing to strengthen the iman of a Muslim, and then in your heart it becomes transparent, is the sohbat, the company of a pious person. I tell you this clearly, clearly. Very quickly does the company of a pious person have a good effect with a person. Very quickly it penetrates heart. That when you take the company of a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, immediately your destiny will change for the future. Your qismat will change for the better. And at least a minimum level is a person's totally bone idle, waste of time, he doesn't want to practice, but at least he will have the effect from the company of a wali of Allah that his heart will feel that let me try to do something good again at least. Let me meet him again, that wali of Allah. Let me sit in his company again so I can benefit. At least he'll do this, and then this desire increases with the sohbat. Today you'll get good effect with the sohbat, then you'll get stronger, because when, don't let a gap come in between. If the gap comes, then shaitan will come. That's why istiqamat, sohbat is shaykh, company of the teacher, istiqamat, going to his company. Remember this very great point, Hazrat Sahib taught us that you can do qaza of all actions. You understand qaza? That you can repeat an action if you miss it. But Hazrat Sahib said, one thing there's no qaza. When it's gone, you cannot get it back. And if you finish the action, what is that? What is that? You cannot get qaza of sohbat-e-sheikh. You cannot do qaza of sohbat-e-sheikh. If you miss that company, that gathering, that sitting with the sheikh, when you lose his sohbat, when you don't sit with him, you don't go to him, you don't have that connection with him, those times and moments and days that have gone, like today's zikr, the ni'mas of the walis of Allah come, rahmah, mercy comes, they come, don't they? So whichever individuals, wherever they are, if they are sat in this majlis, then they were in the sohbat of the walis of Allah at that time. Alhamdulillah, the rahmah, the barakat of our pious predecessors was in this gathering. And those who weren't included in this gathering, then they lost. Today's tajaliyat, the rahmah, the mercies, the barakat. Will they come tomorrow? Of course they will, but today's won't come tomorrow. So Allah Ta'ala, with every gathering, the shan of Allah, Allah's glory descends. Allah says, my shan, my glory, the effects of my majlis, they are different in every gathering. And first point I'll explain to you in the dunya and the world, Allah Ta'ala's glory and mercies when they descend, the first tajalli of Allah Ta'ala's comes into the qalb of the heart of the wali Allah. That's how Allah Ta'ala's glory comes to the world. Allah Ta'ala says, through the fountains of mercies in the world, which are the awliya Allah. So Allah's mercy comes, so Allah Ta'ala's mercies that came to the heart of the wali Allah, that will not come again. Will not come again. So for this reason, we should try our utmost and best, that with strength and regularly take hold of the company of the Waliyullah. And these, the action, the company of the Waliyullah, makes a person very close to Allah. And shaitan will attack the students the most with regards to the wali of Allah's company. The biggest obstacle will come, waswasa will come in the ears. Oh, you don't need to sit in the company of the wali Allah. Don't join the majlis. Don't follow him. Laziness, negligence, leaving right this in your life. Doesn't matter, even if 10 minutes I have to go, 5 minutes I have to go, I will not leave the company of my teacher. Never, never, subhanAllah. And it doesn't matter if a storm comes, rain comes, cold, I'll go see the face of Hazrat Sahib, join the gathering, then I'll leave and he'll be written that he is included in that gathering. But don't let the gap come in between. Don't miss. Wherever you are, wherever you're hearing in the world online, even online if you're listening to the Shaykh, you are in the sohbat of the Shaykh. Wherever my words are going, first class you are in the sohbat, the company of the teacher. Yes, I will swear by Allah and say this right now. Right now. That people have testified to this and have witnessed. Doesn't matter how far people are in Hindustan, Hyderabad, Dakkan. In those areas, people phone me, Hazrat Sahib, I heard your bayan today. Alhamdulillah, it was so good for me. I was destroyed. I was weak. I was sinful. But today I sat in your dhikr, your majlis in Hyderabad, Dakkan. And mashallah, from my heart, all the sins have come out. He says, subhanAllah. So can the company of the waliyullah not have an effect on the heart of a student? Of course it will. Of course it will. So we are here physically. And how easy? Nothing. You got a phone. You can just press play, sufi.org.uk. You're in the car. Okay, I can't go to the majlis. I have to go to hospital. My child is in hospital. Emergency appointment. Something. I can't get to the majlis. Put the phone on. Press the button and the app and start listening to Hazrat Sahib. And that's the sohbat. You're in the sohbat, in the company. But we will regret. Those people will regret on the day of judgment. Who they had so easy this method of the sohbat and they rejected it. They didn't want interested. They didn't want to listen. My brothers, life's ups and downs will come. Life changes every day. Problems, issues, worries, obstacles, sins will come, challenges will come. Tests will come. 50 years from ago was simple life and world. Now it's a bit more complicated, and in the future it'll get more complicated. But Allah is Kareem. He's promised in the Quran, even then in the hard times, I will deliver the deen to you. And Allah will create the means so that people can come to the deen. Allah says, in every generation, I will give you tools to get close to me. Don't turn your face from me, Allah says. Don't be lazy. Don't be sust. Don't be lazy. Follow the tools Allah has given. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand? So you understood what is yaqeen. You understood the actions to get strong yaqeen. There are two actions you have to do. To get sohbat-e shaykh and dhikr Allah. These two actions will make your yaqeen strong. Dhikr, if your shaykh teaches you dhikr, then be regular in doing dhikr. Don't be lazy. And this is the destruction for a person. If a doctor gives you a prescription, and he gives you medicine and guarantees that your cancer will be cured, and you go and throw the prescription away and you don't eat the medicine, that's a destruction, isn't it? Allah's guaranteeing you, do my dhikr, I will take you far from Jahannam. I will make the fire of Jahannam cold for you. Rather, Jahannam will cry out, Allah, take this dhikr out of me, because he's making my fire cold. Allahu Akbar. Jahannam fire will say this. Allah, take this dhikr out. How is this dhikr come into Jahannam? Please Allah, he's cooling me down. So much noor comes into the person because of the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. But what do we do? Our yaqeen is weak. We don't emphasize on dhikr. We don't understand how can dhikr benefit us. What can a wali Allah do? He's no magician. Quran is there. Verses of Quran are there. Hundreds of thousands of walis, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba ikram did amal on this. And the waswasana says, no, leave this. Don't need to do company of shaykh. What hadith is this? Oh, this is weak thing. Oh, this is bid'ah. This is innovation. This is, because they don't understand their brain. Shaitan doesn't let their brain understand what is sohbat-e shaykh and dhikr of Allah. Practice this. Sit down. Join the company of the shaykh. Make your niyat sincere. If Allah is saying something, it's haq. It's the truth. Don't follow your waswasa. Isn't it, Haji sahab? Isn't this right? Of course it's right, yes? So does the waswasa not come out then? Of course it will come out. This is the door to Allah. The dhikr of Allah is the door to Allah. You come in one way, you leave in another way. You don't realize, why did I come to this majlis? And how am I leaving as a better person? His style changes, his life changes due to dhikr of Allah.
Great action. So what should we do? Oh, I can't do it. I'm not regular. I'm weak. Okay, then go into Jahannam and fire. Enjoy yourself in the fire. Because I can't give you any other cure. Fine, go forward and jump into the fire. Restrictions will come, hurdles. I'm lazy, I'm tired, shaitan, I'm weak, I don't understand it. There's cure for everything. Even if you die while you're dying, do tasbih. Allah, Allah, Allah. Don't leave Allah's dhikr. Let shaitan try and attack you, but keep on doing dhikr. What do? We commit suicide. Oh, no, I need to listen to shaitan. He's better than me, he knows better. I don't need to. Shaitan says, just so pass away without dhikr of Allah. Don't remember Allah, it's a waste of time. Where does shaitan take us? He guarantees us, Jahannam. People commit suicide. No, dhikr is too hard for me. Salah, I can't pray, I'm weak. I've got no success. Oh, I might as well take my own life. And shaitan makes him commit suicide. Allahu Akbar. Wasting life. He's making that person kill me. And he's ready to kill himself. Oh, I'm sinful. Oh, I'll hang myself. I'll take some drugs and take my life. Is this not something to laugh about? A person who's weak is strong. He'll laugh that this mad person, Allah's given him life. Eat, drink, enjoy life. Remember Allah. No, I can't do nothing. I'm weak. I can't practice. It's too hard for me, life. Allah says, you are a foolish person. Strengthen your yaqeen. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now let's go to the second part. My style is as a teacher, because I've taught in college. I've learnt in college. So I follow this system of explaining. I try to explain the concept. Yes, so I was a lecturer, I taught in college, the subject matter, I had students, and I used to have a class, and this is also a class we're sitting in, you are all students in my class. So I don't give speeches and bayans and just present the theory. People come say, look at this style of talking, they leave the bayan. This is not a bayan, I want to hear references and hadith quotations, but my style of speaking is different to explain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good, okay. So now let's come to the second bit. What's the second thing I said to you? That the dua we should ask for Allah is afia. When I speak, mashallah, you can make notes in a nice way and understand. Because in lectures, people used to take the notes when revise. So you should take notes of what I'm saying. Or at least make a mental note. So the second thing I mentioned is afia. Now what is afia? What should we do? We should do dua to Allah, that Allah give us afia. So what are the actions to get afia? To get goodness? Say subhanallah. What is the method, the means to get afiyah? MashaAllah. So what is the sabab for afiyah? Ahlullah, dhikrullah for what? Yaqeen. So what is the sabab, the means to get afiyah? So when they stated to get afiyah, the act which is related to our batin, to eliminate all the spiritual diseases. Because you know, just like we say, a healthy person, afiyat with afiyat. So all physical health, yes, and spiritual health is related to our body. You know when we say we've got a stomach ache, where's the stomach? Is it on your forehead? No. It's not, is it? Where's your stomach? Your stomach is inside, isn't it? And the stomach gets ill inside. Everything physically is inside and spiritually everything is inside. So afiyah, goodness, physical and spiritual is inside. So Allah says, cure your inside, your batin. So physically you're well, healthy, and spiritually you're healthy. When a person comes into the being of afiyah, then all spiritual diseases are eliminated. All batini, ruhani illnesses go. And when a person has yaqeen, he's free from jahannam. And when he has afiyah, then he's free from physical and spiritual diseases. So when he has yaqeen, then he'll get the cure from the jahannam, the fire of jahannam. And when he has afiyah, then he is free from all spiritual and physical sickness. So obviously, if a person is free from jahannam and his batin is pure, then mashallah, he is a jannati whilst he's in this world. MashaAllah, how Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's small hadith, but where it takes us to great success. Yeah, two du'as, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Gave us great teaching. Isn't he rahmatul alameen? Of course he is. He's taught us yaqeen and afiyah, and he's given us success at the time of death. And who's this telling us this hadith? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This hadith is related to him specifically. So what's left? So for afiyah, what is the action to get afiyah? What is the action to get physical and spiritual goodness? If we want afiyat, if we want islah, we want rectification of our batin and body, then there's one action. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. When a person follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does amal on the sunnah, lives his life according to the sunnah, then all of his body and his ruhani life is cure from the sicknesses. A G point, isn't it? You don't understand what I'm saying, do you? Say, the qalb, all of our diseases on the heart and the body's illnesses are related to the sunnah of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnah isn't just one thing, is it? That we wear white clothes or imama, keep beard. Yeah, this is sunnah. Obviously, you externally, you look like a Muslim, noor comes into your life, imama, your face, you look like a Muslim, you have white libas. And all libas are good. All colors, but there's a difference between the Zameen and Asman. Yeah, white. Person who has white imama, white clothes, and 50 people are walking past, different colors, different clothes. They'll all look different, but that person with the white libas will stand out. Oh, who's this person with the white imama libas? In 100 people from amongst them. So who's this person? From all these 100 people, they'll look at you more. Isn't it? You'll stand out. Isn't it? So, subhanAllah, on the day of Hashr also, that person will look specifically unique. He'll stand out. From all the people, my brothers, subhanAllah, Allah's given a great ni'mah of the sunnah libas. Even on the day of resurrection, Hashr, people say, who's this? These are the ghulams, the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ghulams, who are these? They used to be embarrassed from the imamah. They were ashamed from the sunnah in the world. What will people say? What will dunya say? It's not necessary. It's not farz, is it? They were ashamed. They're at the back on the day of judgment. But the people who are the ashiks, they'll be at the front. Oh, no, you'll get sworn at in this country. You don't have to do it here. But that's where you enjoy to wear the imamah. Is it? Makkah, Medina, everyone wears these libas. But there, it's harder. Yes? In that remote area. And obviously when you do this constantly, when your yaqeen is strong, then every place becomes Makkah and Medina. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. Then all the gaps and the distances end. Yes, every place then becomes easy for a person to practice. So thawab is everywhere. You get thawab. You can wear libas everywhere. This much your yaqeen, your children, small children, as soon as they're born. One brother came to me, child, he was, I think, 3 hours he was born. And he had an imam on his head for that size. 3 hours old was a child. After 3 hours old, and he's got imam on the head. Subhanallah. What was this? His yaqeen that the sunnah, the barakah, he'll get barakah all his life, to his generations he'll get barakah. Generations. So, this is a great point that just today you get recognized from 100 people. Who's this brother with the white libas and imam? Same on the day of resurrection, you'll be recognized by the sunnah. Who are these people? Now Allah said, don't you recognize these people? These were the servants, the slaves of the Prophet ﷺ. Those who emulated him, imitated him, followed him. So brothers, wear imama, start practicing sunnah. Those who don't wear imama, brothers, start practicing, wear it. Don't just keep it. Okay, even a salah time. Okay, when I pray salah, I'll wear the imam. At least do this, isn't it? You can do this. No one's going to laugh at you at namaz time, are they? Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? Is anyone laughing in the masjid? No. And? No, nobody will laugh. Nobody, isn't it? MashaAllah, you can smile. And that person will laugh himself at himself. Because there's no one here in the masjid who's going to laugh at you for wearing an imam. And keep the beard here, imamah here, MashaAllah, in the khanka. Keep 5-6 imamas here. And then if people want to wear, everyone. And if ijazah, inshallah, if you give me ijazah, I'll keep some here, spare. You have to get permission, isn't it, today for imamah. Everything in the masjid you can do nowadays. But to follow sunnah and zikr, you have to get permission today from the masjid. Every other action, you don't need ijazah. But for sunnah and imamah, you have to ask for this action. The masjids made nowadays, we have to get ijazah for sunnah and zikr in the masjid. The masjids made for this, we have to get ijazah today. Yeah? Imagine the Muslims today, the weakness. So Nabi Akram says some sunnah sharifa. Subhanallah. This will purify our batin and our bodies. If we want afiyah, not just libas, not just attire and your face, rather your whole life should be following the sunnah. Everything you do in your life, all actions, complete. Sleeping, waking up, sitting down, eating, drinking, buying, selling, business, mamulat, relatives, friends, ibadat, worship, akhlaqiyat. Write these things down. These topics I've told you. All of these parts of your life, the Holy Prophet, beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, came to teach us how to do this. Not just how to pray salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, I just come to teach you how to pray salah. That's why Allah Pak has stated that imitate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just follow him. That's all Allah said. Imitate him completely. You'll get to that level that if you imitate him, you start following his lifestyle in every second of the day, then he'll take you to afiyah, to goodness. That Allah says that if you follow the Prophet Muhammad, imitate him in every second of your life through all things, then he will take you to the high level. That what is your maqsood, your objective, that Allah will start to love you if you follow the sunnah. Isn't this in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says this, that there's no action you will do in life that is against the sunnah. Rather, Rasulullah tells you a tariqah, very easy tariqah. When you start doing, that what's the sunnah to do this action when you're going to sleep? Straight away think in your mind, what's the sunnah of going to sleep? That this is the sunnah to wear surma, do wudu before you sleep, do miswak before you sleep. Stop. Okay, I need to do this sunnah. Do miswak, surma, wudu. When you're about to sit in the car, what's the sunnah of sitting on the transportation? What's the way you're about to drink water? What's the sunnah? So every action you do, ask yourself a question. Don't think that there's no method, that like you're walking on the road, you should know how to walk. Where's the camera? You know, when you're walking down the road, how should I drive? How fast? Where's the red light? Do I need to stop here? Should I reduce my speed? We're cautious. So I'm listening, sleeping, sitting, meeting people, discussing, fighting, arguing, thief, wife, children. How should I be with everyone? Don't decide yourself. How should you decide how to act and treat people? Rasulullah, what was your tariqah? What was your method? That to finish this argument, what should I do in the sunnah way? If I want to establish relationships, what's the sunnah way? Doesn't matter if you're getting a loss, but if the hukum is this is the sunnah, go to your wife and ask her to forgive you. Say subhanallah. That if there's an argument at home with the family and you want to follow sunnah, and the sunnah orders that Rasulullah tariqah mubarak, blessed, that you need to go to your wife and ask her to forgive you. And subhanallah, if you want to do amal on the sunnah, then you'll say everything, forget it, takabbur, pride, haughtiness. You'll go to your wife and say, please my wife, forgive me. You will see, subhanallah, your life will change for the better. Your life will improve, arguments will finish, and love and harmony will come. And stop and ask yourself, what is the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah of doing this action? You'll get so used to it, that every footstep of your life, you'll ask yourself, what's the sunnah for this action? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this? That how should I live with my children, my wife? What are her aquq? According to sunnah, should she go out of the house? Should she work? Should she do parda? Should she do this? Should she come down? Should I come down here? Don't think about your benefit. Think about what? That what's the guidance of the sunnah here from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you go against this, then Jahannam will come close to you. If you leave this, you'll go towards Jahannam. If you follow the sunnah, then Jahannam will run you. I've got no barakah at home, problems in my business. Barakah is not due in your business, because the business is against the sunnah. Your carrying actions against the sunnah. You're bypassing the sunnah. You're following your nafs, desires. Yes? So, because there are problems at home, because you're discriminating against the sunnah. My children, they're disobedient, they don't listen to me. Definitely, you are compromising with the sunnah. You're not dealing with your children according to the sunnah. You're not living your life with the family in accordance to the sunnah. It cannot be in the mashallah we complain, my children are disobedient, my family is disobedient, because you are not following the tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Fattabi'uni. That whatever action you're doing, well, A to Z, straight away select the method. Allah says, my selection follow, not your selection. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. From today, don't complain, oh, I've got problems, my work's not successful, I haven't got a daughter or a son, my children. First, slap yourself on your own face. You rude person, you are complaining, but you don't carry out those actions in accordance to Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his beloved sunnah. And you're complaining, my child, my daughter, they're like this. That your daughter, your wife, your son, etc., your children, is this the way of the sunnah to bring up your children? To teach them, make them shaitans in the world, make them do the wrong actions, sell them to the dunya, or make them wear this libas? No. We bypass it. No, this got nothing to do with it. These are small things. They're just disobedient. They're running around in the dunya. I've told you the dua, the tariqah. Now, isn't it the dua? Afia. And to get afia, you have to follow sunnah. But we do dua in the wrong way. We go down the wrong railway track. We just think that put your hands up and Allah will automatically give to us. No. That even if 10,000 times you do dua, Allah do this to me, Allah give this to me. Behind this, definitely put the condition, the shart. Whenever you ask dua, then in your mind you have to ask Allah, what is the sabab, the means for getting this dua? When you say, Allah save me from Jahannam, save me from Jahannam, hours I say, Allah, our malanas, they do duas, they dim the lights, and then they go against me. We are Sufis, we speak straight forth. Why should I waste time? Why should we waste time? When you're doing dua with the lights down, Allah save me from Jahannam, Allah, Laylatul Qadr, Allah has given you tawfiq to do dua. Laylatul Qadr, this is a great mercy of Allah. Then after that, what should we do? Be grateful to Allah. Then we have to follow the actions. Allah, what actions do I have to practice to leave Jahannam? What is the action? And then you'll be saved from Jahannam. But if you just do dua for hours and hours and hours, and you don't do the actions, but when you do the actions, and Allah's rahmah starts to descend, have yaqeen on the actions, the destination will become easy, the end point will become easy. So my brothers, this is the point I summarize. Allah Ta'ala, may He give us all the tawfiq, these two du'as. And in these two du'as is our total deen and afia, goodness in this world and thereafter, zahiri wa batini, physically and spiritually. If we want to be saved from Jahannam, two du'as we have to ask for. Number one, Allah give us yaqeen, and number two, give us afia. And to attain yaqeen, we have to do the actions, and to get afia, we have to do the actions. Those brothers and sisters who are serious, who are sincere, and who understood this message of today, then their lives will improve for the better. Otherwise, they will stay like monkeys and animals and leave this world like animals. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability that we can do amal on this. Ameen. Wa akharu da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.